I count that as one of the exceeding great and precious promises in the Bible. As he had said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said over there, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I was joking. I've been with Brother Daniel Peoples. I preached for him Sunday morning. He was out preaching over in Gwin, and we've been singing in a meeting over there Sunday night and last night. And he preached a message last night of Matthew 28 out of that text over there. And I joked with him, I said, I'm going to preach your message tonight. I'm not, but I was thinking about it when they sang that song. It says in that text about, you know, Jesus is getting ready to send. He's visiting to give them that great, text there. And it said, but some doubted. And would have thought he probably preached that message here some years ago at a camp meeting. But, it said some doubted. But then Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then, and that's wonderful. You know, thinking, what's that do for me? All power is given to me. He said, but lo, I'm with you always. So he said, I'm going to tell you to go into all the world. And how are you going to do it? And he said, you can't do it, but you're going to go, and I got all the power, and guess what? I'm going to go with you. And what a thought. Wherever you are, he's there. All along, she's saying. And I thank God for that, because without God, I'm in a mess. So, I'm like Moses back there in Exodus 33. Lord, if you're not going with me, don't carry me up hither. I'm not interested in being where God's not at. And, a lot of times we want to figure out what our will is and try to ask God to get in on it. God's interested in us getting on his will, amen? And you go on his will, and you'll never go alone. But sometimes, I was talking to Brother Daniel today, I heard Brother Ted Mullins give his testimony about that, and I forget, some of you might have heard, but there was another country, South Central American country, he really wanted to go to be a missionary. Most of you that know Brother Ted know he was a missionary and pioneer missionary in Papua New Guinea for years, but he really wanted to go to this other place, and he said, I prayed about it, and he said, New Guinea was on my heart, but he said it was on my heart for somebody else. He was praying that somebody else would go over there, and he wanted to go here. And he said it finally came down to the prayer meeting. He said, the Lord said, well, look, I'm going to New Guinea. So if you want to go down there, you go if you want to, but I'm going to New Guinea. He said, well, Lord, if you're going to New Guinea, that's where I'll go too. And they're like, hey, that's the way it is. And wherever that is God's got for you, maybe it's here, maybe it's over there, maybe it's China, it don't matter. It's wherever God's at. Of course, he's in all those places, amen. But you know what I'm saying. We want to be where he's blessing in the center of his will for our lives. And so I'm excited always to be here, y'all. Know we love you, and you are like family. We thank God for you and appreciate the opportunity. There's very, very qualified, more than me, preachers to preach here tonight. And I appreciate Brother Andrew being a blessing to us and letting us be here with you. And I pray it'll be some blessing to y'all as well. Exodus chapter 14. You can't get to a more familiar text, I don't think, in the Bible hardly, than Exodus 14. We'll turn there tonight and do a little quick Bible study. And try not to keep you long. Exodus chapter 14. It's going to be a defective batch of the second water bottle I've drank. The cap won't come off. But Exodus chapter 14. That's the biggest problem I have all night. I'll be in good shape. Oh, I promise you. Exodus 14. So y'all know this, we call them Bible stories. It's not a Bible story. It's a Bible account, right? A historical account here given in the Word of God about how the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Now, you know the Bible story like I do. God's led them out with a high hand, he says there, and they're coming out of Egypt, and they've spoiled the Egyptians and headed now to the land flowing with milk and honey, but here they are right out of the gate. I mean, just good and got out of Egypt, and they faced the Red Sea. It's like the Lord just took them, as the old saying says, out of the frying pan and into the fire, or how that old saying says, and man, we just got out of Egypt, and we're praise the Lord and glory to God, and here we are, boom, right out of the gate, Red Sea. And what a thought, that God, why would God do this thing? Why would he put them through a Red Sea? But I think as we see from our text and familiar text that tonight, that we'll see that the Red Sea was what was best for them and will bring glory for God. Amen. And tonight, the thought that I have tonight, the Lord's given me, is on the Red Seas of life. Amen. The Red Seas of life. We all face some Red Seas in our lives. And most of us will say, I don't want to face a Red Sea. I don't want to face an Egyptian army breathing down my neck. I don't want to face an insurmountable obstacle in front of me until we get to the other side. Then we look back and say, Lord, thank you for that Red Sea. But the problem is we don't know the rest of the story yet. We always go to Joseph. Joseph didn't know when he's sitting in that pit. Brothers throwed him in where he was headed. He had some visions. God had shown him some glimpses of something. He didn't know all those things. And if we could only see it all, then we'd
But sometimes we don't get it all like that, although we do know the ending of our story, don't we? We know that there's a land that's fairer than day, and I know where I'm headed there. And matter of fact, I'm already seated in heavenly places, the Bible says. So I really do know the end of that story, but we just don't know what it's going to take to get from here to there. You know, I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. We don't know. She got loved ones. There's an accident today. We don't know. But sometimes God allows these things in our lives, and sometimes there's all different reasons. We're not going to say that that it's because we did wrong. Sometimes there are things in our life that are because of our own ignorance or our own sinfulness. We know that, but that's what they said to Jesus. That tower of Siloam fell. He said, who caused that? Was it because of their sin? He said, no. It's not always because somebody's done wrong. Sometimes it's because we do wrong and God's trying to draw us to us. Sometimes it's for God to get glory. Lazarus wasn't sick unto death. He was sick unto the glory of God. There's all kind of different reasons why God allows things in our life. But rest assured, we've all have faced or will face some red seas of life. Amen. And I want to talk about that tonight, just a few moments. I want to read the text. I'm going to read the chapter. And I hope you can bear with me in that. I've been convicted of that lately. I heard something Brother Danny Farley said. He said, a lot of times we get up to our text and we rush through the text real quick so we can go ahead and get to the part of what we got to say. And I say, you know, let's get through God's part and let me tell you what I got to say. So I really need to read the whole story to get to the thing. And then we'll just jump through tonight real quick, hit some spots that the Lord had given us. So if you can, I think you could bear with me. It's the reading of God's word. We'll read the text and it'll speak to you more than what I will anyways. But the Bible says in Exodus 14, and now when I butcher these names of these places, y'all say them the way you say them. And you'll be right and I'll be wrong. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the seaside beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, to them, but it gave light by night to these. I'm sorry, I skipped that. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. They remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us these accounts, these histories, stories, Lord, for us to take and draw strength, Lord, to be our examples and our ensamples, Lord. I pray help us to draw some strength, some courage to go another mile through this text here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we read the story. You know it well, but we read it again from the Word of God, how the Lord brought them to this point that day. And as I begin to read this story and I begin to consider these things, I can put myself, try to paint my mind and put myself in the position of these children of Israel. As I said, they're coming out. They're coming with a high hand. They're praising the Lord, shouting glory to God. Hey, we're no longer servants. We're no longer slaves in Egypt. And God leads them to this place that all of a sudden, as we read the text, they're in a mess. They look to their left and there's mountains, and to their right, and the mountains have them enclosed in. In front of them is the Red Sea, which seems to be an obstacle, impassable. Behind them is this devil, this Pharaoh's army that's breathing down their neck. And they say, what are we doing? But I want to remind you, number one, tonight, that the Red Sea was the will of God. Amen? It was the will of God. This wasn't Moses' plan. This is where God led them. If you were to read in the previous chapter, in chapter 13, and it says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had led the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people," right, "about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went harnessed up out of the land of Egypt." So this was the will of God. God sent them through the Red Sea. Now everything they're saying at this moment is, hey, Moses, why are we here? Why didn't you just leave us alone? We said leave us alone, and here we are now, and we're about to die in the wilderness, and you brought us here, and you did this. But God said, no, I led you here. This was the purpose, and God led them there for their best, right? Hey, he said, hey, they can't handle the other way. God could have sent them any way he wanted to. God can handle the Philistines just like he handled the Egyptians. He can handle whoever he wanted to. But God chose the Red Sea route to help them. Man. And sometimes we have Red Seas in our life. We have obstacles and these things that God puts in our way. And we're trying so hard to fight and resist this very thing that God's doing for our best. You see that? God chose the Red Sea route to help them. You see, there were many other ways to go. God could handle any of them, but they couldn't. They said, here we are, and we would have went the other way. Yeah, God knew you'd went the other way, but he knew you couldn't handle the other way. That's the Philistine way. You've heard him talk about that man that was crying and moaning to the Lord about how heavy his cross was, right? How heavy his burden was, and said, "Lord, I want another cross. I need another burden to bear. Mine's too heavy." So he goes into this room, and all around the room, there's rooms full of crosses and burdens, and as he goes in, he lays his by the door, and he begins to look around the room, and all these are big, huge, and heavy burdens, and I don't want that one. Then finally, over in the corner, he goes all the way back around the room. He sees this little small cross. He says, "Man, I'll take that, and that's the one I want to bear." He said, "Well, that was yours to begin with. That's the one you laid down, Now, some of us got it tough, and I'm not making light of it. Some of you have been through some things I've never been through. But you know what? You can always find somebody, can't you? That's got a little different story. But it's amazing that it seems like some of these Christians that I see that have been through the most, man, they it seems like the glory of God shines the brightest through them, And, all I can say, and it's easy preaching, hard practicing, but God can trust them with those things, And, I got a dear friend that's buried his five-year-old daughter, and I can't imagine. And how he's walked through that thing and how he's used that for the honor and glory of God. And just, I just cry right now thinking about it. But God allowed him to do that in his life. And I don't know why, and he don't know why. But God knows why. Amen. And you know, we go through those things, and that's an extreme case. And some of y'all have been through some extreme cases. I understand that. And to these children of Israel, that day, this day, they thought this was the end of them. This was the death of them. This is where God had brought them out just to punish them and kill them in this place. But God didn't bring them out to stop at the Red Sea. God brought them out to bring them through the Red Sea. Amen. And a lot of times you say, well, this is the end, and I can't make it. No, God's not concerned one bit about the Red Sea. Amen. He made the Red Sea. He has no problem parting the Red Sea. And he has no problem bringing you through the problems of your life. He wants to use these things to show you his will and his honor and his glory and his power in our lives. Hey, I say that God chose the Red Sea route to help them. God led them so they would not go the way of the Philistines, so they wouldn't have to go the way of war. And God knows best always. Now we say, amen, God knows best, and I do too. But it's hard sometimes. Because God's best in our idea sometimes don't work out, you know. You know, Lord, I seen how I'd have picked it. You know, I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers say one time, you know, if I were God, I'd have just killed the devil. Just killed the devil. But instead, he chose to kill his only begotten son. You know, God's ways aren't our ways, are they? You know, God, I don't want to go through this thing. I can't handle this. It's too hard. Why don't we go the other way? Because God knows what's best. God not only knows what's best, he wanted to receive the honor due his name. And he wanted to show himself strong. And they're about to spend this these days, of course, it ended up being years that shouldn't have been, crossing this Red Sea. And right out of the gate, God's protecting them by not leading them through the way of the Philistines. And not only that, God's about to execute judgment on these people who've been the enemies of God all these years. And then, not only that, God's about to show them what he can do and how they're going to be able to trust him all the way through the wilderness. God allowed us to go through a few things in our life, And especially early on in our marriage, and through that we were able to say, hey, we can trust God with this. I can trust him with my children. I can trust him with my money. I can trust him with some things. And as that old song, Through It All, says, if I never had a problem, I never know that God could solve it. Amen? Now, I'm not looking up here today and saying, hey, Lord, send me some more problems. I need some more problems. All right? Lord, get that straight if you hear me. I know he does. But you know what? Thank God for those trials. That song says, make this trial a blessing. When I get on the other side, I look back and I say, well, Lord, he did know what he was doing all along. Imagine that, you know. He did have a plan. He did have a will. And because my finite mind is so earthly and so fleshly and just thinks this is all so important, you know, my flesh and my life, and to him that's just nothing. Because God's mind's on eternity. God's mind was on a bride. And God's mind was on all these things that's so much greater than my little flesh. And he's got a plan for us and a purpose. And he wants, sometimes it takes breaking our life so he can get out and be a blessing to others. And hey, nobody's signing up to get in the break it, Lord, break me line. All right? Now, you know, that's a scary song, Lord, whatever it takes. That song, that's a scary song. That's a scarier prayer. Amen. But God was willing to do this because he loved them. Hey, not only was the Red Sea the will of God, but the Red Sea was a trial of their faith. Hey, here they are in verse 10 in our text. And then when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Hey, we're moving on, and we're singing, you know, onward Christian soldiers. We're serving the Lord. We just come out of, y'all did here, missions conference, and things are rolling good. And you look up and look back, oh, no, here comes the enemy. He's always, by the way, side note, he seems like he's always right behind them high days, isn't he? He's always there. It's always something going on. And you know what? But what I notice is where they had their eyes at. They had their eyes on the enemy, didn't they? They didn't have their eyes on the Lord. I mean, do you just remember the 10 plagues that just happened in Egypt? How God, what God all had done? You know, and it amazes me when I read about these children of Israel. You go through, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you see. I mean, it's like God does, you know, one of the most blows my mind is over there how I got 70 men sitting on a mountain eating with God, right? Then Moses leaves to get the Ten Commandments. 40 days later, they're down there naked worshiping idols. You know, they go from meeting with God to worshiping idols, right, and playing naked. And I'm thinking, how do we get there? You know, and one day they're on top of the mountain, one day they're messing. Then I think, well, we're just like them, you know. One day we're shouting glory to God, the next day we're saying something we've got to repent for. You know, it's just up and down, you know. And that's the way they were. They're just people. And so they had their eyes on the enemy, though. You know, how quick we forget. God just delivered them. He just brought them out. And now, oh, no, there's those Egyptians. You mean the ones that God just wiped out all their crops, all their livestock, all the firstborn? I mean, just executed judgment on them, decimated Egypt. And now what's left's coming after them. And they ain't thinking, hey, man, here's what God's going to do for them. They're thinking, oh, no, they're going to kill us. And they have their eyes on the enemy. They're so afraid. But you know, if there's any good thing that comes out of that verse, I think it's got to be the end of the verse. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Amen. You know what? If the Egyptian army had never come behind them, I don't believe they ever cried out on the Lord. You know, a lot of us are the same way. Until the young one gets sick, we don't ever cry on the Lord. Until we get the bad phone call, or until we get the news, or until we have the job situation changed, we never cry out on the Lord. And God's just trying to say, hey, here I am. I want to be your father. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. And I'm going to be a blessing to you. But yet, we don't need God today. Hey, and I'm guilty. I'm like the guy that fouled. It's me in the basketball game. Red Sea was a trial of their faith. Eyes are on the enemy, so afraid, but at least finally with Lord, you know, that's what we do, isn't it? Lord, save me. Verse 11 and 12 of that text, and they begin to turn on Moses. You know, were there no graves in Egypt? You take us out in the wilderness to die? Well, if we're going to die, just let us die in Egypt. We're going to bring me out here and bury us. You know, why'd you do this to us? It's amazing. You go through this text, every time something bad happens, they blame it all on Moses. You know, nobody says, God, you know, do this, and that's the way it goes. That's the way leadership goes. That's the way it goes with the pastor or anything. You know, it's always on them. You did this, you know. Not God said do this and you did it, but any rate. And they're blaming Moses. Now they begin to blame Moses. Moses didn't lead them. God led them, right? God brought them here. Hey, but the problem is they're controlled by their fear. Now they're making irrational statements. Haven't you ever done that? Somebody, you know, some people, when they get one of the most dangerous things you can get, is get them scared. My dad's that kind of way. I'll pick on him. He's just here with y'all. He don't get scared much. If you get him scared, he might hurt you. That's just who he is now. And he's not afraid of much, right? But he don't like being afraid. He don't know what to do, right? When he gets afraid. And maybe put a little of that in me, you know. And so they always pick on me about snakes. I see, you know. They said, don't worry about Daniel. You know, when he gets a snake, he said, but you have to worry about watching for yourself because he'll hurt you getting away. And it's probably true, but... And pray for me. I'm going to Guam in January, which is an island full of snakes. Every time I Google it, it makes me nervous. But so they're so afraid, and they're beginning to blame Moses. Now we're making these irrational statements. I've said things like that before, and I think, man, where'd that come from? It just came from their fear and from their flesh. It didn't come out of faith. So let's blame it on the preacher, and now they're saying stuff like, it'd been better for us to die in Egypt. We said, leave us alone and let us serve Egypt. And I keep saying this, many times I've said in messages, but you remember what was going on in Egypt? We're throwing babies in the river, right? We're making bricks, and by the way, you don't get any straw, you know? Well, I mean, you know, you're talking, but then it was better in Egypt, you know? No, it wasn't. We got some short-term memory issues, right? I think I'd rather die in the wilderness than be a slave in Egypt, but that, you know, man, it was better in Egypt. No, it wasn't. And let me say, it wasn't better before you were saved, amen? It wasn't better when you were living in the world. It's amazing how folks look back, it was better. No, it wasn't. You got one little bump in the road. You got one Red Sea, and now God wants you to trust Him instead. We're gonna lose our mind, go crazy, say things we never should have said, blame people we never should have blamed. You've seen it. They get mad, blow out of church. They got one little trial that the Lord's putting there, maybe a big trial, and God's trusting them with them. He's going to help them and grow them with it, and either it's going to put them and settle them in deeper in their relationship with the Lord in the house of God, or it'll blow them out every time, one or the other. Seems like it happens. That's what happened here. If it's up to them, hey, they're out of there. You know, not only did I see that the Red Sea was the will of God and it was a trial of their faith, but it was also a manifestation of God's presence. Verse 13 talks about, and Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see again them again no more forever. See, they need to get their eyes off of the problem and get their eyes on the Lord. Amen. All they can see is the Egyptian army and see Egyptian army. And the Lord's saying, look at me. Moses said, hey, stand still. Hey, that thing that you're so worried about, that thing you're looking at, God's just going to take care of that problem and you're never going to see it again. You know, that's what they said over there when they were in that boat. The Bible says, well, the winds was boisterous over there. And they said they were afraid, beginning to seek. And they cried out, Lord, save us. That's what happened to Peter over there when he stepped out on that water. You know, you. How many times have we done it? I've done the same thing. Things are good, and all of a sudden we're walking with the Lord, and here comes some waves, and we're looking around, and we look up, and we start to sink spiritually. What they needed to do was just take a minute, take a breath, you know. Be still and know that I'm God, Psalm 46 said. Sometimes when you get in a problem, hey, sometimes when I don't know what to do, you know what the God's always told me to do? I just don't do nothing for the moment, you know. Don't make a big decision yet. I mean, we can't just sit still forever, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just need to take a minute. We need to get quiet and find God. God, where are you in this? What is your will? What would you have me to do? And Moses says, hey, just stand still. Calm down. I can just see them running around like chickens with their heads cut off. What do we do? Where do we go? You know, somebody's trying to swim. Somebody's saying, well, maybe we can build a raft. You know, we can climb a mountain. You know, we'll do anything here but trust God. And that's the way I do too. When we figured everything else out that we can't figure it out ourselves, I said, well, I guess we'll have to trust God. You know, and he said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God was about to manifest his presence in their lives. Now, again, I'm not signing up in the list tonight if you put one in the back of the church for who wants to go through some troubles and trials. But you know what? I thank God, though, for the few little things that I've gone through and in my life, how good and how close God's been to me through those things. How I've recognized through those things that I saw the presence of God and the power of God and how that He could meet with us and that and I could stand upon the promise of His Word and not just say it because I read it, but know it that He is with me always and that He will truly never leave me nor forsake me. I can stand in the hospital bed and look at a baby laying there and watch him flatline and the preacher's not there and my mom and dad, and there's nobody there, but realize that God was there, amen, with me all along. I thank God for that. He wants to manifest Himself. And some of you are probably going through some problems right now. And somewhere in there, I believe, if you get to looking, you'll find He's there. Amen. And He's there. You're still going to have to cross the Red Sea. And no doubt about it. Amen. But you're not going to cross it alone. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. The Lord was present. He was present. He was right there. In the middle of their storm. No different than the disciples on the ship. He's in the boat asleep. He's right there with them. No problem. Lord's still present. He's still leading. Amen. Well, you can't hear Him leading. We're running around screaming, hollering. We're getting mad. Well, you know, get aggravated. I'm the world's worst. I get stressed out, right? And what I do is start saying dumb things and figuring, you know, all this stuff. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to figure it out. And every time the Lord makes me feel about this small when He takes care of it like He always does, right? I can remember a deal recently. It was a finance, simple. I don't know why I would trust God with finances. He never blessed it over and over again every time. But a little deal, it was a financial thing. And you know, how are we going to make it? Ain't no way this thing going to, you know, and then God, I mean, just miraculously come here and here and here. And by the end of the week, you know, I'm just, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm so sorry because he'd done what He always does and took care of it. He said, didn't I tell you, you know, if you seek me first and all these other things will be added unto you, I'll take care of it. And He did. But I'm dumb. I take that class over a couple times sometimes. But the Lord was still present. He was still leading. He didn't leave them. He's not concerned one bit about the Egyptians. All right? He said, go forward. Moses, and it's almost a conflict here. Moses said, stand still. Lord said, what are you hollering for, Moses? Tell him to go ahead. Well, Lord, there's a Red Sea in front of us. I'm not concerned about the Red Sea. Red Sea or not, they're still headed for the Promised Land. Man. You're still headed for where God's taking you. Man. You're still headed for a relationship with Him if you want a victorious Christian life. You're still headed to heaven when you die if you're born again by the grace of God. The Red Seas are not obstacles to God. The Red Sea wasn't a place to stop. It was just a place to pass through. Amen. How many people do you know, though, that have had a Red Sea in their life? And I'm not saying these are small things. Red Sea ain't a little creek, a little ditch to cross. It was a big deal. Some of you have been through some big Red Seas. How many people have you met, though, that got to something like that and they just stopped? And they're still there. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And they're still dealing with this same thing. God didn't bring them there to stop. He brought them there to pass them through. Amen. God led them through the midst of the sea. Amen. And God will lead you through the midst of your Red Sea if you'll let Him. Not only do I see that the Red Sea was a manifestation of God's presence, but I also see that the Red Sea was not just for the children of Israel. Sometimes we get to go through a problem, we think it's all about us. We're always looking for our help and our relief and God do for me. And sometimes, as like we said, the story of Lazarus, God may be using your story to help somebody else. And there, see, the Bible said in verse 17 there, and that of chapter 14, He said, "And behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." The Red Sea was not just for the children of Israel. The Red Sea was for Pharaoh in Egypt. The Red Sea was for them to see God's glory. The Red Sea was for them to see how God takes care of His children. The Red Sea was for them to see for Pharaoh and God in the Egyptian army to see how God takes care of His children. I remember being at Brother Don Green's funeral, and Brother John Green was giving a testimony about his father, and he said that he remembered well the day his mother died. And Brother John and them's mother died. And he said they went to the funeral that day, and they came home. They all sat around the living room. The brothers there and their one sister, and they sat around. And he said, nobody said anything. He said, you know what to say. They just sat there. He said, you know, I was a younger, I think he's not the youngest, but he's next to it. And he said, you know, I surely wasn't going to say a thing. He said, I just sat there. He said, in a minute, Brother Green spoke up. He said, children, this is a hard thing we're going through. He said, but when we go through this thing, we're going to show the world how God's children go through a problem. We're going to show them how God can get glory even through this trial. Now, he's talking to children who just buried their mother. Hey, that's not a light thing. Some of y'all walk through that valley. But God was about to show them how God's children go through trials. And again, you say, Lord, don't make me the guinea pig. Hey, we all are. But sometimes, and you've seen it, some of y'all have been through some things, and God allows you to go through those things for the world, and I guarantee you their eyes are on you to see how you deal with that thing. And also, some years later, you'll be able to use that thing to be a blessing to help somebody else. I know people that have gone through things and gone through trials and troubles, maybe even abuse, and I see later on in life how they're able to minister to other people because they've sat where they sat. And they've been in that place, and no, they wouldn't sign up for that thing, and no, they don't want that thing. But through that, God's enabled them to use it and to minister to other people. And sometimes it's not just about us. Amen. God's got a plan, and God's going to get some glory. And they're saying, man, this is the place God's going to kill us. No, it's not the place God's going to kill you. It's the place He's going to kill the enemy. It's a place where God's going to get a victory in our life. All we see is defeat, and all God sees is victory. Depends on which perspective you're looking at. I think about over there when Lazarus died, and Thomas said, Lord, let's go with him so we can die too. Well, that's dumb, right? Lord wasn't going for y'all to die with him. He's going to raise him from the dead, right? That's how we look. Well, we'll just go and die with him. No. God's not looking to kill you here. He's looking to bring you through this thing, to grow you, to strengthen you, and to take care of the enemy here. That's what God's looking to do. And for you to have a testimony when you come out the other side. Yeah, you're going to have some knots. Maybe you're going to be like Jacob walking with a limp. No doubt about it. We're going to shed some tears and we're going to have some troubles. But God's using you for His honor and glory and to minister to other people. And some people that are the dearest in my life have been the most, what great testimonies they had, as I said, have been through some great trials. I don't know how they do it. And I see them go through things, even sisters sitting here go through these. Nobody, you don't want to be in that chair. Many of y'all been through things. But every time I hear you, she's here and I'm not lifting her up. But I thank God. It's faithfulness. Amen. I understand that's a great trial. And God's using that's a testimony. I praise God for that. And you can name many others like that. How God uses them. And that thing can turn bitter real easy. We can just go to the house. You know, forget this. You know, there's a lot of other people that aren't here today. All right? And they can walk in here. And I'm not picking on them. But, you know, I'm just saying that God knows. And God trusts some folks with some things. And he wants to get some honor and glory through those things. The Red Sea was not just for the children of Israel. A couple more things will be done. The Red Sea not only was a manifestation of God's presence, as we mentioned earlier, but it was a manifestation of God's protection. Amen. God can bring you through the Red Sea. It says in verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. So here they are. He's always been leading them. Now here they are, here comes the enemy behind them. He moves behind them. Right? And the pillar of cloud that went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But this same cloud's given darkness on one side, but on the other side, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one camp came not near the other all night. Here God is, this very same God that's going to pronounce judgment on this side, He's pronouncing mercy and grace on this side. Just like this book, amen? This same book that convicts me of my sins, the same book that told me the answer, the remedy, amen? And that's the way God works. It just depends on which side we're on, amen? And we see how God can protect and move through these things. Hey, He is with them, and He is going to carry them through there. And we see the manifestation of God's protection in these texts. And we could preach for days in this text, and I'm not going to be labored. It's a Wednesday night, and everybody's worked and tired. Let's read a couple more verses. We'll bring it together tonight. The Red Sea was once a cause for fear and sorrow, but now it's a cause for rejoicing. Verse 22 tells us how they walked across on dry ground. Amen. Verse 27, 28 tells us how God dealt with the enemy. Moses, so the children of Israel began to walk on dry land. This Red Sea that was so impossible to pass, on their own it was impossible to pass. That's what he said to them over there. Go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. How are we going to do it? He said, hey, I'm going to go with you always. You know, hey, it is impossible for you to pass, but it's not impossible for God to pass. All right? And if he's leading, you can go through on dry ground. You can make it through. You try to make it through on your own, you're going to struggle. Amen? And that's what so many of us do. Here's the Red Sea. Here's the trouble. Here's a problem. Here I am swimming and stroking, doing my best. God said, I don't want you to swim. He wants you to walk on dry ground. Still a Red Sea. It's still an obstacle. But God wants to go with you. He wants to carry you across. He can protect you through this trial. He can give light even in the darkest situation. I thank God for that. They're crossing on dry ground. Not only they crossed on dry ground, we'll paraphrase for time's sake, but you know the story. Moses is about to stretch out that same rod, and that was a picture of God's grace and mercy for them to cross, and it's going to be that same rod that's going to pronounce judgment. It's like a picture of the cross, that same cross. That's a symbol of mercy and grace for us. To those who reject Christ, it's a picture of God's judgment. Amen? Judgment of God that came upon Christ. When they reject Him, the judgment of God that will fall upon them. What a picture. But, verse 29 says, but. 28 said, God dealt with the enemy, covered their chariots. It says at the end of verse 28, and there remained not so much as one of them. But I like the next word, but. The children of Israel walked on dry ground. Amen. Hey, God's pronouncing judgment, but God's children, there is light in Goshen. There is help for the people of God. There is hope and peace and mercy and grace for those that are God's children. He said, hey, but God brought them through on dry ground. What a story to tell. You imagine sitting around with your children and saying, let me tell you all about the day. Yeah, we crossed the dry sea. You know, I've heard all about the up and down, uphill both ways in the snow. You know, I wonder if the kids thought about that too. Let me tell you about that day we crossed the Red Sea. Yeah, right. No. Really, we crossed the Red Sea, how God parted the water and we walked around. You mean that big? Yeah, that sea over there. What God did for us. Sometimes we look back on those things in life and say, how did we ever make it through that thing? You didn't. God carried you through it. Amen? You wouldn't have made it. No more than I would. I'm not a very good swimmer. I'm not very built aerodynamically, right? And I'm a bit heavy for swimming, but I can swim. I can do all right. I was in Canada with them in the camp, and I swim around. I do my thing, but I don't think I could cross the Red Sea. And good thing God don't want me to, man. He didn't want them to either. This thing that was once a cause for fear and sorrow is now a cause for rejoicing. Back to verse 10 over there, we're so afraid, we see the enemy, and we're ready to go back and be a slave in Egypt. But now here we are, fast forward to verse chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea. And they can begin to continue to sing through that text. A great song of praise. I'm just like them. I mean, I've been there so many times, ain't no way I'm going to make it. I'm going to die. It's over. We're done. And fast forward through it, God does what he always does. I'm on the other side praising God. Glory to God. He did it again. Right? Aren't we there so many times? What did the Red Sea do for him tonight? My last point is verse number 31. The Red Sea brought them closer to God. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Had it never been a Red Sea, I don't believe they'd have believed God. Sometimes we go through problems in life, as I said, and we say these statements and we quote these verses, but God lets us put to the test sometimes. And through those things, you know what, we come out the other side? Fearing God and believing Him. Amen. Draws you closer to God. Now, I said tonight, nobody's going to sign up and join a list in the back to sign up for the Red Seas. But I'm telling you, when you come to the Red Seas in life, there's some help. Amen. There's some help in a time of trouble. There's some peace that passes understanding. There's some grace and some mercy. There's some presence of God that you can find. Hey, this may be the will of God for your life. That's what it was for the children of Israel. I'll say to you again, the Red Sea was the will of God for them. The Red Sea was a trial of their faith. The Red Sea was a manifestation of God's presence. The Red Sea was not just for the children of Israel. The Red Sea was a manifestation of God's protection. The Red Sea, which once was a cause for fear and sorrow, it's now a cause for rejoicing. And the Red Sea brought them closer to God.
Well, I don't know what anybody's facing here. If you're not facing them, you heard the old saying, you probably come. It's probably coming, isn't it? But one thing about it, when you get in that Red Sea, why don't you just draw close to God? Amen. Wonder how it would have been different for them if they'd have just trusted God right out of the gate, you know? If verse 31 was way back there about, you know, verse number 10, we look and see the Egyptians, and if we would have feared the Lord and believed the Lord, might save a lot of strife and fear, mightn't it? But instead, we murmur, we complain, we cry, we scream. I don't want this. I can't take it. I can't handle it. Apostle Pike, three times, Lord, I prayed this thing. Take this thorn from me. And all the Lord will say is, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. He said, I got you. Just go on through it. I got something in mind for you. I got a project for you. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a will. And you need to go through this thing for your better and for my honor and glory. So tonight, if God's got you facing some Red Seas of life, I say just draw up close to Him. Amen. Seek God through that thing. Find God in the middle of it. Say, Lord, you know, I don't know what you're doing or why you got me here, but I'm just going to trust you with it. What else are you going to do anyways? He's in charge of it either way, whether you trust Him with it or not. It's not going to change God one bit either way. It's just going to change you and your perspective. Amen. Hey, Peter got to walk on the water. And then Peter got to sink in the water, right? Jesus is with him either way. It's just all about his perspective. And when he's looking at the Lord, he's walking on water. He's making it. He's walking the water in a storm. When his eyes are on the storm, he's sinking in the storm and crying out for help. Hey, again, I'm not making light of your storms or your troubles, your Red Seas. But I'm telling you, God's there with you, man. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Hey, we just come out of a good time here, and the Lord's blessing and moving. I guarantee you there's something coming around the corner for some of us. Some of them are already facing it. We probably look at the list of prayer requests. There's some Red Seas going on. Hey, pray for our brethren. Amen. Pray for one another. Ask God to take these things and use them in our lives for His honor and for His glory. And you may have a story to tell one of these days. Amen. Let me tell you about what God did in my life. Amen. And, hey, sometimes it takes a little while to get to be able to tell them stories. But when God gets you through the other side, you'll say, look what God did. And I ain't saying there's going to be some pain. There ain't going to be some tears. There's not going to be some scars. There's also going to be some blessing and some presence and some fingerprints of the Master on our life. And as He's molding this clay for His honor and His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love You tonight, Lord. I thank You for the Word of God, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that it's not just words on a page, Lord. It's the truth of the Word of God. And just as You brought these children of Israel through this wilderness, Lord, we as Your children, Lord, You've got a plan for us, Lord. As the kids sang, Lord, wherever we are, whatever we're going through, Lord, You're right there beside us, seeing and knowing, God. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Lord, and You had me preach this thought that's going through a trial, Lord, maybe somebody will watch You online, Lord, that You'll just help them to really know the presence of God through this thing, Lord. I know at times we all get discouraged, Lord. The burdens get heavier than we can bear, Lord. Thank God You told us in Your book to casting all our care upon You, for You care for us. Lord, would You help us to see You in the midst of our Red Seas, Lord. Father, I love You tonight, and I thank You. You first loved me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.